So the Ibn Ezra points out something that is very interesting, and I think it's fairly obvious as you go through Sefer Tvarim, but it's an important point, although maybe explained a little bit differently than he does. Ibn Ezra says, Ki teitze, zo ha-parsha divuka im kitatsur el ir nechasa b'nehem parsha egla rufa bavur ha-chalal im tzav Eretz Yisrael. V'lo kem b'chutz la'aretz vaf ki b'melchama. Well, Ibn Ezra, Nogia l'nyanenu of the Ibn Ezra, is that if you look in Devarim Parakhav and Parakhav Aleph, it's very interesting that basically if we were to remove the section of Egla Arufa, right, there's a very simple continuum from Parakhav into Parakhav Aleph. Parakhav, ki teitze la milchama loivecha, how Parakhav Pasuk Aleph begins. Parakhav Aleph Pasuk Yud begins exactly the same way, ki teitze la milchama loivecha. Right, so we're clearly talking about the exact same topic in the same language is used. And Perek Chav continues straight through. The entire Perek deals with Hilchot Milchama. That's what Perek Chav deals with from beginning to end. Perek Chav Aleph, Pasuk Yud, is a continuation of that same topic. It's talking about a detail of the Halachot of Milchama, specifically Esh Yifat Torah, right, which is a detail in the halachot of milchama. All of this deals with warfare. All of this deals with different aspects of how we are to conduct ourselves in war. And in the middle of that discussion, right, there's this little piece, these nine psukim that seem to have nothing to do with anything. Ki matzei chalal ba'adama. We're not talking about wartime. We're talking about a murder that takes place in the context of normal society. And it tells us what you do, the procedure of Egla Rufa that is done, culminating with Kaper Lamcha Yisrael Asher Padit Adonai V'altitein Dam Naki B'Ker Vamcha Yisrael Mikaper Lahem Hadam V'atat V'er Adam Naki Mikibrecha Ki Taseh Yashar B'nei Adonai. Why is this in the middle of this section? It seems to be a glaring interruption. That's what the Ibn Ezra is really addressing, right? He doesn't go into all the details, and he gives a particular suggestion, but that's basically what the Ibn Ezra is noting. Another framework which we should take note of is the framework that we have here, discussion about issues of tzedek and mishpat, that we have here in very similar terms in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, and is picked up again in Perek Chav Hei of Dvarim, okay, in Perek Chav Hei, and this is of course the very end of Parsha Ki Teitze. So there is there are certain threads that are running through, and we're not going to discuss it in its entirety by any means because we're not learning Chumash, but I just want to touch on a little bit of an idea that I think emerges from here that's very, very important. Very, very relevant. Okay, but before returning to that, just to point out, it's also interesting to note, just very kind of passing, or mention, again, in terms of the way that there's a train of thought throughout this part of Dvarim that relates to some of these ideas. It's interesting to note that if you look, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, famous Gemara, that there are three mitzvot that go together. Okay, three mitzvot are to appoint a king, to fight against Amalek, to destroy Amalek, and to build a Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so it's very interesting to note that we have three parshot in Dvar that are consecutive, and Parsha Re'eh, one of the big folks in Parsha Re'eh, is the whole topic of Aliyah L'Regel, right, the whole idea of Makom Asher Yivchar, Shemal Kechabo, the idea of the Mikdash. Okay? Parsha Shoftim delineates the different offices within Am Yisrael, the Navi, the Kohen, the Shofet, etc. Amongst them, right, we have the Parsha HaMelech in the Torah, not about Sefer Shmuel, but the Parsha HaMelech in the Torah is Parsha Shoftim. Okay, it's found in Parsha Shoftim, right? That's where all the ideas of Melech and the idea that the Melech has this Sefer Torah, which he always carries around with him, and so on and so forth. Okay? And that's the... And Parsha Ki Teitzei is, of course, where in Sefer Torah we have, in fact, in the whole Torah, we have the mitzvah of Mechiyat Amalek. We have the idea of the battle against Amalek already in Parsha B'Shalach and in Shmot, but the idea of the tzivoy to go and do something that we have a responsibility, right? In Shmot it talks about Milchama L'Hashem B'Amalek. It talks about Hashem's war against Amalek. But our war against Amalek is delineated in Parsha Ki Teitzei. Okay? So in these Parsha we have the three tzivuyim that Chazal talk about being interrelated, not in the same order, but nonetheless, we have the idea of the Melech, Mechiyat Amalek, and Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Those ideas are defined for us in this part of the Torah. Okay? Again, here, just if you read, like, you know, the two Ki Teitzeis and how Eglat Rufa is kind of stuck in the middle. Okay. So, again, without doing justice to the topic, because we're not letting comments, when it gets to the central idea, Chazal, in many different ways, talk about an idea that I think is very important here. It says like this. This will shed light, I think, on why Eglat Rufa is here, and vice versa, and also the connection between the mitzvah HaMelech and Amalek, and what that's all about. So, first the Gemara in Yom. Vayar Banacha. Amraimani. Al Iske Nacha. He was struggling with the issue of the Nacha. B'shash Amar Lo Kash Baruch Hu L'Sha'ul Lech B'kitat Amalek. When Hashem said to Shaul, he should go and attack Amalek. Amar Uma Nefesh Achat Amra Torah Havei Egla Rufa Kol HaNefeshot Halalu Acha Kam V'Kama V'im Adam Chata V'im Ama Chata V'im Gdolim Chatu K'tanim Chatu Yatz'a Bat Kol V'amra Lo Al Titzadik Harbe V'sha'ash Amar Lo Shaul L'doeg Sov Atah Ofka B'Kohanim Yatz'a Bat Kol V'amra Lo Al Tirsha Harbe. Okay? So, we have the, and obviously the idea is that these are words of Shlomo HaMelech himself, that are, and that's not coincidental, perhaps sometime discuss a little bit about Kohelet, understand why this is very bedavka, but in any case, the point is that Shaul is bothered, we're told, by the fact he struggles with things, it bothers him, the fact, understandably, that he's told to attack Amalek, to destroy Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, and the point of departure for his struggle is the issue of Eglah Arufa. Okay, the issue of Eglah Arufa, which of course, interestingly enough, is put right in the middle of the discussion of Milchama. But it goes on to say, contrasts two statements. Again, two statements of Shlomo. One is Al Titzadik Harbe, and the other is Al Tirshah Harbe, right? Al Titzadik Harbe in reference to his failing to wipe out Amalek. And Al Tirshah Harbe in reference to his attack on Nov Irakonim. Okay, another Chazal, Midrash Rabbah Kohelet Rabbah, says the following. Al Titzadik Harbe Ba'al Titzakam Yoter. Al Titzadik Harbe Yoter Mi Baracha. Don't be more of a tzaddik than Hashem. Midaber b'Shaul, tichtiv, v'yavo Shaul ad ir Amalek v'gomer, Rav Huna Rav Naya omer, hitzchil medayen u'keneged baro. He started to kind of argue against God, judge against, v'amar kach amar kash baruch hu, lech v'kita et Amalek, imanashim chatu, hanashim machatu, v'atach machatu, v'abakar, v'shor, v'chamor machatu, yaseh balkol v'amral al tihi tzaddik harbeh. Okay, meaning your term baracha. Rabbanan Amre, hitzchum deyen k'neged egla rufa, v'omer, amar katuv, v'arfusham et hagla banachal, hu horeg v'hine arefet, im adam chata b'ma machata, yasa bako v'arma, al ti tzadik harbe. Rashim ben Lakish omer, kol mi shenasa rachman b'makom achzari, sov shenasa achzari, Bimakom Rachaman. Okay, a very, very, very important line. Okay, The Reish Lakish says, "Kol mi shenasa rachman b'makom achzari, sof shenasa achzari b'makom rachman." Uminayin shenasa achzari b'makom rachman. How do we see the other side of the coin? Shene'emar ve'nov ir hakonim hika lefi charef lo tehe nov kizar shel Amalek. Was Nov any worse than, it's not at least as good as Amalek, and yet he is concerned about wiping out Amalek, but he has no problems with wiping out Nov ir hakonim. Rabbanan amrein kol mi shenasa rachman b'makom achzari sov shemidat hatin pogat bo shene'emar v'yamat sha'ul u'shlosh banav. Okay. And these chazals work together. There's an idea that emerges when we start to put these ideas together that's very, very important. And I think what Chazal are getting at is an idea that, if we turn the page for a moment, is spelled out. At least an aspect of it by the Chazon Ish. Okay, I have the next page, and we'll come back to these Chazals and see how it all fits together, hopefully. But let's start with this Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, probably best known for his Sefer Chazon Ish on Shas and Shulchan Aruch, I have a hybrid of the two. Primarily known for his Sifrei Halacha. However, the Chazon Ish also wrote a small little sefer called Sefer Chazon Ish Emunah Bitachon, which is it's a tiny, tiny little book. Actually, didn't complete it. A tiny book of Machshava Shkafa, which is a fascinating sefer. There's some very, very important things there. You know, it's a very, very short little sefer. Perek Gimel. He talks about an idea. We're not going to go through the whole paragraph, but I'd like to at least look at one paragraph, one subchapter in Perek Gimel. And that is Ot Bet here. Okay, and I think it's a tremendously important idea. I'm going to then bring it back to Chazal and the Torahs that we just saw. Michovot Hamusariot. Okay, paragraph Bet. Michovot Hamusariot. Sheishtadel ha'adam lata'at bilvavo et ha'ikar ha'gadol hazeh. Okay, it's a moral obligation. One of the great obligations of Musar is that a person has to attempt to implant in himself this tremendous yisod. Shebechol mikreh asher hu nifgash im re'ehu. Any time that a person is involved in an interaction, in a kind of contact with someone else, lishkol befelas halacha, and particularly means a confrontation, right? Ladat mihu harodef umihu hanirdaf. You have to know who is the victim and who is the victimizer, who is threatening whom. Vahalo limud hamusar manchil ahava v'chemla l'hanirdaf, right? The learning of musar, the development of our character, should create within us love and compassion for the one who is pursued. V'chaimat marut laharudev, and an anger and bitterness against the one who is pursuing. Umanor ahi hamachshela v'raba buka liyot min hamachlifim et harudev l'nirdaf v'et hanirdaf l'harudev. And it's a tremendous catastrophe when, if God forbid, we become amongst those who switch and confuse who is the rodef and who's the nirdaf, who is the victim and who's the victimizer. Vasher ledat amitato in makom zulat b'sifrei haposkim asher masrum lanu mitzukei tevel rabotenu zechonam levracha. In other words, he goes on to explain this in a larger context, but the basic idea the Chazon Ish brings out, and again I'm summarizing more of the chapter than just this one paragraph, but this paragraph kind of tamsit, that the Chazon Ish basically explains, says that he talks about the idea of din and lifnim mishrat ha-din, and the idea of musar and halacha. And he says something very, very, I think very, very fundamental. He says that it's very important that we have, that we develop our sensitivity and compassion, our, you know, having the right, you know, and certainly, if we just have a dry appreciation for, you know, obligation, and so that's a terrible thing. Chazal tells us that, you know, Yerushalayim was destroyed because Emir Asmael El Shurat Tadin, that they did exactly what the letter of the law, and that's it, there was no room for compassion and for Lifnim Shurat Hadin and for, you know, just a sense of what of right and wrong.
Who
was destroying? But, says the Chazon Ish, we have to remember that but first you have to know what the din is before you can think about Lifnim Shurat Hadin. First you have to understand the general direction of what is just before you can consider, you know, then applying compassion, applying, you know, Lifnim Shurat Hadin and so on and so forth. Because otherwise, you're not moving in the right direction at all. You have to first have an understanding of what's right and wrong. And then you can proceed from there. You can build on that with Musar. He said, if a person just, you know, doesn't have any concept of halacha, doesn't have any concept of what's right and wrong and what's just and who's right and who's wrong, and just a sense of compassion, just a sense of, you know, an emotional, again, I'm not saying that that shouldn't exist, it's critical that it exists, but that can't be the starting point, that can't be all. And what, you know, the Chazon Ish is saying is really the idea that we find here in Chazal, that a person has to be very careful that we're not, that we don't direct our compassion in the wrong direction. Because Chazal warned us, and this is something I believe we see very much in real life, that it is davka the same people who are rachmanim b'makom achzari who end up being achzari b'makom rachman. It's the same people who are too compassionate for victimizers who end up being very cruel and very heartless to victims. We see this in real life all the time. It's a very, very common occurrence. And you look at the people who have compassion and who have a lot of human kindness towards terrorists and towards people who support terrorists and as a result are very cruel to innocent families. This happens all the time. This is, you know, you just have to read the newspapers to see, or, you know, whatever source of news you particularly favor or sources. But the point is that if you look at the news, you see this is what happens in real life, that the same people who are very concerned about being, you know, kind to and fair to and so on and so forth to people who are real Risham, who are real victimizers, the mirror image follows very, very quickly. And that's exactly what Chazal talk about here, right? That
because they have compassion for Risham, they become Risham?
I don't think they become Risham in the sense that they're going to go out and that they become terrorists, but I'm saying, but the same people who are very concerned about terrorists and about victimized and people who are really Rishon end up having very little, you know, having no compassion on people who are innocent and who we really should have compassion on. You know what I'm saying? It's a very common thing. You find this all the time. And this is something that, you know, I mean, if you follow the news, you'll see how this happens all the time. It's a very serious, you know, very, very serious thing. And the example that Chazal are giving here is the case of Shaul. The same Shaul who is, you know, b'achmal m'tavatzon, and, you know, he there's an element of compassion that goes to, when it comes to the wrong, when, you know, there's this misdirected compassion towards Amalek, where Amalek is, you know, again, one has to understand what Amalek is, and that's a little bit of a different topic, and perhaps we'll discuss that another time. The point is that if you understand what Amalek is, Amalek is not the place to be compassionate. Amalek is not the people we should be compassionate, you know, towards. And as a result, what happens is that the same Shaul, say Chazal, not coincidentally, who is soft a little bit on Amalek, you know, a little bit, Vayar Banachal, and the result is that then when it comes to Nov Ir HaKohanim, he wipes them out, he massacres them. Right? Where's the compassion? Right? They're not at least as deserving of compassion. They're very deserving of compassion, but the problem is that once we lose our moral compass, once we lose our ethical compass, once we don't have a foundation of right and wrong that's based on you know, absolutes, that's based on Dvar Hashem, that's based on halacha, and it's just, you know, a question of how I feel about it, so then, you know, well, you know, I feel bad for Amalek, and so the next moment I could, I don't like the people of Nob because they're on David's side, so I'm just going to wipe them out. But if the starting point is it's tzedek and mishpat, and that's why that's the context here. What Egla Arufa is in the middle of Kitetze L'Mochama Levecha, because it tells us that there is a place, there's a time and place for sensitivity and compassion, and saying that, you know, bloodshed is a terrible thing, and we've got to be, you know, it's terrible that we should have any kind of, in any way, that if we didn't make sure that this murder didn't take place, Yadeinu lo shafu et adam hazeh, Egla Rufa is creating a tremendous sensitivity for being Rachaman, but in the right place. And it's balanced with Ki Teitzei L'Milchama L'Evecha. The two are put in the same context to tell us that the same things can be positive in one context and negative in another context. We have to have the shikul of knowing, right, which is which. And that's why the idea of Mechiyat Amalek goes alongside the idea of Minoy Melech. Why these two ideas have to go together, right? In other words, the ultimate test of a king who indeed is carrying the Torah with him all the time, who is guided by the Torah all the time, who isn't just doing what he feels like doing, and it isn't just, you know, giving a person power and they're going to go do whatever they want, and it's a disaster, but the person is going to use that power to establish tzedek and mishpat amongst the nation. The litmus test of that is the case of Amalek, because that's where he has to accept that, you know, I'm not going to decide, as Shaul did, what I feel like doing, what emotionally I am drawn to, but rather I'm going to do what Hashem defines as right and wrong. And that's really a crucial aspect of what it means to be a proper melech. And one of the reasons why these ideas go together. Okay. That's phase one. That's phase one. Again, a huge yisod, and the more you see of life, the more you see that this is so true. This idea of kol shirachman b'makom achzari sofo liyot achzari b'makom rachman. In other words, that part of developing ourselves properly, ethically and morally, and having the right compass, is that we have to really start with this idea of that it's very important to develop musar, to develop an idea of, you know, a sense of compassion and a sense of you know, ethics, etc. But it has to be firmly rooted in an absolute understanding of what's right and what's wrong, and that very positive feelings of being compassionate, etc., have to be directed in the right direction. We have to know when is the proper time and when it's not the proper time, where it should be directed, where it should not be directed, who is the victim and who's the victimizer, and to appropriately respond to both. And as much as it is crucial to have compassion on the victim, it's important to have a sense of moral outrage and hatred towards the victimizer. And in a very real way, in a very real pragmatic way, the two go hand in hand. In other words, to the degree that we are not sufficiently harsh towards the victimizer, we're really ultimately going to end up, if not immediately, going to be harming the victims. know, it's not today, then it's tomorrow, next day. That's really the first yisod that I think is very important to understand here. Okay. That's point number one, phase number one. Okay, phase number two. Phase number two. Phase number two, I want to address in phase number two a bit, is an interesting question that we're not going to do this in order necessarily, forgive me, but we're going to try to do it. Okay. There are, let me introduce the topic and then I'll give you a chance to look at it a little bit and say that. If you turn to the last page, okay, last page. I'll do the first page or the last page. Okay, which assuming that you got a source book that's not defective, should be Bavod Rishayim Lina. Okay? What? This is phase two of the topic. Okay? Ba'avod Rishayim Lina. We have two psukim in Mishlei. And I'd like to read you the two psukim to introduce the topic. And the first is in Perek Yud Aleph. Okay, you have it over here on the top of your page. I'm just going to read it from the side. But Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud is the first of them, where it says, Bituv Tzadikim Ta'alot Kirya. Uva'avod Rishayim Rina. Okay? I'm going to focus on the second half of the Pasuk. Uva'avod Rishayim Rina. Okay? Loosely translated that, and I'm paraphrasing, there's not a direct quote, but essentially what it's saying is, okay, not the translation, but what the message is, that the destruction of Rishayim is a cause for celebration, a reason to rejoice. Okay? That's basically what this pasuk is saying. On the other hand, we have another pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Chaf Dalet, which is probably a more famous, perhaps a more famous pasuk, for one thing because it is quoted in Masachet Avot, as you know, but read these couple of pasukim. Okay, so in Chaf Dalet, pasuk Yud Zayin, it says as follows, Binfol o yivcha al tismach, uvik Uvi kashlo al yagel libecha pen yir'e Adonai v'rab einav veishiv me'alav apo. Okay, so here the pasuk says that binfol o yivcha al tisma, when your enemy falls, you shouldn't rejoice. Uvi kashlo, and when he stumbles, al yagel libecha, right, you shouldn't be happy, you shouldn't rejoice. Okay, pen yir'e Hashem v'rab einav, because perhaps God will disapprove of this, Veshim Alav, Apom will stop being angry at him. Okay, these are the two psukim we want to consider. And indeed, if we look throughout Chazal, as well as in Tanakh, there seem to be many conflicting sources regarding this issue. And I'm sure that each one of us can think of some of them. I gave you a sampling of them here. One of the discussions of this issue can be found, if you look on the preceding page, you have a page from Megillat Ta'anit. Okay? And if you go to a farm store and get a standard Megillat Ta'anit, which is a photo op, right, of one page of that, it's a little bit confusing because there are three distinctly different things within Megillat Ta'anit. Okay, there is, first of all, Megillat Ta'anit itself. There's Megillat Ta'anit Batra, which is kind of an appended chapter, which is a different thing entirely. Okay, and finally, and I'm not going to get to Megillat Ta'anit Batra right now, but Megillat Ta'anit itself is a very old text, which gives us essentially a list Who knows what's Megillat Tanit? It's a list of what? What? It's a trick question. Okay. It's, what? It's days on which you're not allowed to fast. Okay. Days on which you're allowed. Original Megillat Tanit is days on which you're not allowed to fast. Okay. And it's a very short little thing. That's a, right. So it gives you, you know, whatever. Not accurate, whatever, but it's this short Tanaic word which gives you, okay, these are the days on which you're not allowed to fast, and gives you a list, this day, and tells you very briefly what it is, and you know that you're not allowed to fast on it, not allowed to have a haspen, and so on. Okay. Appended to it, kind of like a Gemara on the Mishnah, okay, just like if you open up a Shas, right? If you open up a Shas, you'll have on the same page, you'll have a piece of Mishnah and then Gemara commenting on it. Okay, there is a kind of Gemara on Megillat Tanit. Okay, and that, again, it's not Gemara, but that quote-unquote Gemara, called by scholars of Scolion, in any case, that is a commentary on Megillat Tanit. There's a big question exactly when that was composed, how edited, the process of it, there are different parts to it. Okay. If you're very interested in the topic we discussed, but anyhow, I think that there's proof throughout Shas that at least a certain part, you know, at least the core of it, existed before the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes from that scholion, at least a certain part of it. And in any case, not our issue, but the point is, in this, again, loosely speaking, Gemara on it, there's a discussion of this topic. It talks about this idea a little bit, and it says like this. If you take a look right over here, Bechamisha Sar Bey, Vishisha Sar Bey, this is the wide lines, okay? The end of the first wide line. Bechamisha Sar Bey, Uve Shisha Sar Bey, Galu Anshe Beit Shan, Vanshe Bikata. Bab Hemayu, so these people were exiled, right? Vehemayu Yateid Ra'ali Yisrael Bimei Yevanim, Klape Arveim, Mipnei Shalom Nitchayvu, Galut Brishonav, Lo Higlautam, Lo Yoshua Benun, Lo David Malch Yisrael, Vekeman She Nitchayvu, Galut, Gavrai Adam Shal Beit Chashmonai, Vigluotam, Reitzel Chashmonai, were able to exile them, Ba'oto Ayom, Asur Yom Tov. Okay, they caused trouble for Bnei Yisrael and the Chule. Continues the, let's go down here. Shesimchahi, this is the part that's relevant to us. Shesimchahi Lifnei HaMakom, Shemalchut Hersha'a Ne'ekra Min Ha'olam. Okay, when the evil Malchut is uprooted from the world, it's a Simcha before Hashem. As it says, V'alu Moshim Bar'atzion V'galmer, Hashem Melech Olam V'ed Eimatai K'shiovdu Goyim Me'artzo. Okay, and similarly it says, Yitamu Chata Min Ha'aretz V'galmer. Okay, obviously understanding it differently than Bruria in the first parak of Brachot. Okay, Beseder. So, along comes one of the commentaries of Megillat Tanit, Tosot Chadashim, okay, and you see the part that's underlined here, right? So in Tosot Chadashim, in the outer margin here, you have a discussion of this question. Okay, discussion of this question. So, what I'm, in addition to that, on this last page, you have several different sources, and particularly these two parallel boxes, one of which we just did the Megillat Tanit, okay? So you don't need to do that, we just did that. But you can also take a look at some of the other sources that we have here, again, those two parallel boxes, plus the Tosa Yeshanim, and consider this question. The question being, of course, how do we resolve the tension between these two statements in Mishle and all of the other sources that reflect them? In other words, is the destruction of Rasham, is the death of Rasham, is that a cause of celebration? Or isn't it? Okay? So, there's a question that was discussed at some length back when Arafat Mashmal Zafro died. Is it appropriate to be happy, to rejoice? Does that cause a celebration or not? So, this is one example. Here is here are some of the sources that deal with it, and let's see the sources and perhaps suggest a possible direction in approaching this issue. Okay, Beseder, as a part two to our question of our relationship to Risha and Risham this one. The source of Tanet. So the Tosa Yishanim over here, the Tosa Chadashim rather, over here. Okay, Tosa Yishanim is the favorite. And the next page. Okay, the source is here. Yeah. Okay, let's take a few minutes to do that and then we'll see.